Hi, the first thing I got to do is turn this high-tech equipment here. It's a good introduction, so I'm going to stop. God bless you. Goodbye. One of the things that I like to make people understand is I'm a born-again Christian saved by the blood and nothing else. Amen? Yeah. That being said, is we should be the happiest people on earth. We should have the biggest joy on earth. So we're going to have some fun today. Understanding what God has expectation out of us as men. Amen?
Amen.
Well, before we start, let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, it is powerful, it is clear, and Father, it is precise. Lord, we pray you today that you remove me completely aside. Father, I can be hard-headed, I can be opinionated, and the last thing I want to do, Father, is be an obstacle. Father, from your word reaching the hearts of people, I pray that be your Holy Spirit that speaks and not I, Father, and that you prepare our hearts and minds to receive what your word is about to give us. And we ask you all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
If you came to listen to some deep theological preaching as to the secrets of the world, you came to the wrong place. Because the reality is that as men, it is the simple things that stumble us. And if we can't accomplish the simple things of the Word of God, we can forget about the complicated things about it. Amen? One of the first things I want to talk to about is I want to talk a little bit about the last fellowship we had here. It was, quit ye like men. Be a real man, right? And man, I got to tell you, it was a good preaching. It was a good message delivered. And I left excited. And I left saying, Lord, that's what we need to do.
Yes, sir.
We need to be real men.
Amen.
The problem is what is a real man?
Uh-huh.
See, that's the thing. We can tell you this is what you got to do, but have we equipped you to be the man that God commands you to be? And that's where it becomes a little tricky, right? Now, that being said, please stand and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 11. And yell amen when you're there, please.
Amen.
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 Say it like you mean it, so he can hear you.
Amen.
Amen. We're a bunch of men here, so we got to be ready. I'm not going to be holding punches back, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, praise the Lord. And the word of God over in chapter 13, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians says, very simple. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away all childish things.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, because you are here amongst us. Not because I said so, because your word says so.
Amen.
Father, you said where two or more are gathered together in your name, Father, that you are in the midst of us. And Father, we want to honor you. We want to glorify you. Father, not only with our words, but with our actions. And we pray to you,
yes.
Father. My desire is that when we live here, we live with a better understanding of what being a man it is according to your will and to your word.
Amen.
And we ask all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Please be seated. As Dale said, I served our nation. When I came here from Puerto Rico when I was 16 years of age. I ended up graduating and didn't have much direction. I knew that I was going to serve in the military. When I got to this nation, a lot of opportunities were open to me. So I said, I fell in love with this great country named America. I'm going to serve her. I'm going to make sure that I give her my thanks and service to our nation. So I joined the Marine Corps because I'm a hard-headed individual, and I've always liked to fight. And I said, okay, that's the first to fight. That's where I'm going. So that's where I went. And by God's grace, I was able to not only make it home alive, but I was able to get out of the Marine Corps with an honorable discharge.
Amen.
And while in the Marines, I had this idea as to what being a man was. You know, that Marine Corps, hoorah, hard neck, tough guy, you know, that chews up Pepsi cans and spits out barbed wire. That type of a guy, right? You know, crayons aren't for coloring in the Marine Corps. We eat them if we're too hungry. That's what we do. Especially red crayons. It looks like blood is coming out your mouth. It makes you look tougher, right? That's what I thought being a man was. I idolized individuals like Chesty Pollard, which is the most decorated Marine in the Marine Corps history. Manila John Bassalon, who after winning a Medal of Honor, being awarded a Medal of Honor, still went back into the field and died battling and fighting our nation's wars. And I thought that that was being a man. As a child, you know, my dad was a tough guy. My dad's fists are like this big. I got robbed. My dad was this burly tough guy, and I thought that being a man was being tough. What I say goes. I'm the man of the house. I am a man, and because I'm a man, I got to prove to you that I'm tougher than you. I got to prove to you that I can do everything because I'm a man. I got to prove to you that my wife does what I say because I'm the man. I got to prove to you that my children do what I tell them because I'm the man. And if they don't do it, I'll beat them. That's what I thought being a man was. It was this whole idea of what being a man is. And I'm going to tell you, that's the idea that the world would give you back when I was growing up. Right. It was this, you have to be tough. Don't cry. Man, I remember one time I had a tear. My dad told me, boy, you want a real tear? I'll give you a reason to cry. Oh, yeah. Right? Because you don't cry as a man. Now, I had this whole idea, too, that you had to be willing to fight and ready to fight. You better throw the first punch. Because that's being a man. A man doesn't get punked. A man doesn't show weakness. A man doesn't cry in front of anybody. Because that's being a man. Today's day, there's some people that still teach that. There's still people that learn that. But the world has taken a complete different approach as to what being a man is. Now being a man is you can't be too masculine. They call it toxic masculinity. Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you, the world needs toxic masculinity. That's the reality, right? But they're teaching you, you know, I've seen guys that got prettier eyebrows than my wife does. And I think my wife's got beautiful eyebrows. I've seen men that wear prettier dresses than my wife does. You know that they're selling dresses for men now? And I'm saying all of this because I want you to understand that there's a skewed view as to what a man is to be. The world doesn't know what a man is to be. It changes with the times what a man is supposed to be according to the world. As I stated, you know, earlier, a man was the one that provided for his family, that went hunting, that did what he had to do to make sure that bread was put in the house, right? And that's part of being a man. But what I'm trying to say is that it's changing with the times what a man is supposed to be. Now, so let's for a second, for a split second, imagine. Just this crazy notion that there might be a book out there.
Yes.
that teaches you how to be a man and that somehow has withstood the changes in time and has not changed a bit.
Yes.
Would you be interested in knowing what that book has to say about being a man?
Yes, sir.
Because I got to tell you, I know it's a hard thing to believe that there's somebody out there that somehow inspired a book that hasn't changed a bit. That says it will withstand the changes of time because he says that his word will never change. It will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe it might be a good idea to see what that book has to say about being a man. Right? Now I got to tell you, I bought into the whole tough guy thing. I got a lot of beauty scars in my face, right? To prove that I was this tough guy. I went to the Marine Corps and I had a chip on my shoulder. By the time I had 2 months into the Marines, I had two chips on my shoulders, right? I had to prove something. Because you see, that's what we're taught.
That's right, bro. Yeah.
We have to prove something.
Yep.
One of the first things we need to understand is this, that if you spend your life trying to prove something to someone else, you're going to spend your life being miserable. You're going to spend your life running and chasing a false dream. Something that you'll never be able to accomplish because you will let people down. Because that's the reality of it, right? That's the reality. You think about the men in your life. How many times have they let us down, no matter how good of a man they were? But what about if there was one man and never let anybody down? What about if somehow there was one man that lived the life that all of us aspire to live? Especially if you're a Christian.
Yes. Right.
What about if that man existed? Wouldn't you say that maybe I need to see what kind of a man this was? And again, what about if he put his actions in a book that, like I said before, doesn't change no matter what the times do or change? Wouldn't we want to see what that man is like?
Yes, sir.
So, before I get to that part, the first thing I want to point out is this verse that we read. Because it's a very important verse. Because that's part of the problems with today's men.
Yep.
And I'm going to simply say what that verse says. Grow up. We need to start understanding that mommy ain't taking care of you if you have a family. You need to understand that daddy ain't going to answer for your mistakes if you're already a grown man. Grow up and be a man. That's what that verse tells us. And unlike some people, it isn't talking to women as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and I can say that because he says, when I became a what?
A man.
It's addressing men. And interestingly enough, if you've read the chapter, it talks about this one thing that culture tells you that a man shouldn't do or talk about. Love. Charity. If you read that whole chapter, it talks about what you are not and what you are. And what I'm talking about, if you're this great man that speaks with the tongues of angels or whatever it may be, and you have not charity, you have nothing, you have naught. So the first thing you need to understand is this. Stop acting like child, like children, and start understanding what is this love. Because that's what's going to change us, man. As a child, one of the things that we notice in our children are the following. They're unstable. Children are unstable people by nature. They can be here sitting down happy, and all of a sudden, they see a cockroach in the floor, and the world is ended. Their candy falls in the floor, crying, and they're unstable people because they don't know how to deal with their emotions. A child does not know how to deal with their emotions. When I was a child, I behave as a child. If a child does not know how to control their emotions, then a man should be able to do the opposite. And one of the biggest problems we have, family, is that men, rather than, listen, being emotional is not a problem. Being controlled by your emotions is. And men, what happens is they allow their emotions to dictate their actions. As a child. Oh, pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Have you ever ruined a family dinner because something didn't go your way? Or because somebody might have said something that upset at you? Even worse, have you ever come home and taken your anger out on your family because you're upset over something that happened at work? Because your emotions control you the way they control a child. A child is unstable. A child is selfish. Pastor, I have great kids. They are not selfish. Give them a lollipop and tell them to share it. Give them how about the favorite toy? Tell them when they're playing with their favorite toy, give it to that kid so he can play for it for a little bit. What is it going to say? Mine. Mine. How selfish are we? Men, with our gifts, our times, our tithes. Listen, you want to know a person's heart? See where their money goes. See where their money goes. Because that's the reality. So if a child behaves in a selfish manner, when you grow up, you should grow up out of that selfishness and be the opposite. Unselfish. I think the Bible talks about something to this effect. Esteem others.
Come on.
That's called selfless. Not selfish. And that's one of the problems is that we as men tend to be selfish, and the only thing that matters is me. And I'm not like that. If you think that way, you are being selfish right then, because you're thinking you're better than everybody else. We all are. But if you're a born-again Christian, you've had victory over your flesh, and you should be able to control those fleshly tendencies that live in every man. This is one that drives me insane, preacher. Pastor John Asquith, I know you don't have people like this in your church. So I'm going to throw that out there for anybody that has those problems. Whiny. You know, I got to tell you, I don't know what it is, brother. It's something that's built into my system. That I don't care if you're 5 or 50, a whiny person gets under my skin like nothing else does.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, brother. And because, you know, you kids, you take a lollipop. He took my lollipop. Man, you want to cry? I'll give you a reason to cry. Right? But the reality is that children tend to be whiny. He took my lollipop. Go get another. I want that one.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. I'm going to use an imaginary situation. With imaginary people. Wow. Hey, brother so-and-so lost his job. And he's just praying that the Lord provides for him. Yes, sir, you're right. We got to pray for him. I remember when I lost my favorite tool. I'm sorry, what? This guy lost his job, and you're whining about you losing a tool? But that's an imaginary situation, remember, right? Or, my boss doesn't like me. I don't know if I can take this.
Yeah.
Is he still paying your check? I gotta tell you, brother, I don't care if your boss likes you or not. You ain't got to like me, you just gotta pay me.
Yeah.
Right? I go to work with a good attitude because I'm a Christian. If my boss isn't a Christian and has a bad attitude, I don't need to whine about it. I need to show him what a Christian man is. And Lord willing, by my testimony, he'll come to know Christ. But if all I do is whine, the boss doesn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. It's
good. Why are we whiny, man? A child is whining. It is expected to be whiny. Listen, I've seen some kids here that I've been talking about child and they haven't said a word. They're better than some men already.
Uh-oh. Good, Pastor.
Pouty.
Uh-oh.
Pastor didn't invite me to his house. Hasn't invited me to his house yet. Have you invited the pastor to your house? You do understand that the pastor has a whole church. Right. You have one pastor.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for you to invite the one pastor than it is for him to invite everybody. But, you know, he must not like me as much. You know why? He probably doesn't want to deal with you as much, because he's tired of you pouting.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Listen, I'm going to tell you this much. I like this because we're all men, right? So I can let loose a little bit. You see, when I preach at church, you know, I got ladies, I got young girls, I got young men, young kids. So I have to contain myself to a certain extent, right? But when I come to these things, man, I'm able to let loose. I'm able to just let it go and allow God to speak to your hearts through this mouth. And not trying to hold myself, because we're men. I've already touched on this. Emotions centered. Life is about how I feel. I've said this to a lot of men and a lot of women. I said, listen, do you understand what the difference between happiness and joy is? Mm-hmm. Happiness is based on exterior influences.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You give me a gift. Yay. You invite me over for dinner and it's the food I like. Yay. Yeah. That's happiness. Yeah. Joy is, I'm in prison in the middle of the worst circumstances in my life, and I'm still saying, praise the Lord because he's got me here for some reason. And my job isn't to understand him. My job is to believe in him and obey him. That's joy. That in spite of what's going on outside, I realize that there's a living God that's in control of all things. And it's allowing things to take place in my life to perfect me after his image. So that it will force me to depend on him rather than on my own strength. You see, because that's when God truly sees who you are and your character is when you are at your wit's end and he says, what are you going to do? And when we submit to his will and go to him prayerfully, like a man, not whining, not pouty.
That's right.
God, what is it that you're trying to show me? He says, this is what I'm trying to do. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, you won't see it till years down the road. When you look back and you say, I see what he was doing.
Yeah,
that's good, bro.
That's true.
That's good.
A child is impulsive. A child has got bullish tendencies. Pastor, not my child. Really. Put him alone in a room with one toy and see what happens. One of them is going to end up playing with that toy. And usually isn't the one that takes it and says, here you go, play with it. A child. That's expected of a child. Why do we act as children and become bullies sometimes towards each other? And I'm not talking about just in a negative aspect. I'm talking about the guy where you're talking to somebody, he shows up and he's got to dominate the conversation. I'm the alpha male here. You know, I love God in some for so many reasons, but I love his sense of humor. Because here we are, the alpha male. Let him catch a cold. Brother Tony, I think that the Lord made me pretty tough. When I get sick, honey, just leave me alone. I just want to be home. Brother, I just want to be left alone in a corner and just throw me some food in the floor. I'll grab it. Right? And that's that alpha male. Because that's what we've been taught. But isn't it interesting that all of that I've described have been the descriptions of children or childlike behavior?
Yeah.
Not in a positive way, because there's qualities about children. But I'm talking about what is not being a man. I joined the Marine Corps at 17 years old. I was 18 years old in Somalia, where I earned my combat action. And I was like, man, yeah, I'm a man. Ah, came back, you know, like I said, chewing Pepsi cans. Barbed wire came out. I was just tougher than tough. And then God got a hold of me. In Singapore, out of all places. By some hick, some nutcase hick that was on a missions, he was in the mission field in Singapore, who trained a Singaporean pastor who the Lord used to lead me to know him. And I did one thing that I was taught from a child not to do as a man. Not only did I cry, I wept. In front of another man, a stranger. And I cried uncontrollably. God showed me, revealed himself to me, and I wept. Understanding that somehow a holy and perfect God could love a nasty, sinful, wretched human being like I. It wasn't my sin that led me to cry. It wasn't recognizing that I deserved to go to hell. It was that a loving God could love me. A perfect holy God could love me. That's what broke me apart.
Amen.
How can God Almighty love me so much?
Yes.
How can it be when I spit on his face, when I cursed his name, when I used his name in vain? How can he love me?
Yes, sir.
But he was showing me what being a man truly is. It's loving unconditionally.
That's good.
Yeah, that's tough.
So one of the first points about being a man is you got to learn how to love without expecting anything in return.
Yes, sir. That's good.
That's good.
Jesus Christ is the epitome of a man.
Yes, sir.
He is what every man should aspire to be.
Yes, sir.
Philippians 2:5 tells us that let this mind be in you, which was also in
Christ.
In today's day, we would call it wanting to be like. That's what we should strive to be like Christ, to think and act like Christ. Right? So if God's word tells us that we need to start acting and thinking and acting like Jesus Christ, then we got to figure out how we act. We got to figure out what was it that Christ did. How was his actions? How did he think? You'll never know it unless you read the Bible.
That's right.
Second tip of being a man. You need to be a student of life. And the only way you can get the truth of life is by going to the one that is life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that speaks of him, the only place that truly speaks of who he is in the Word of God. The mind of Christ. He was a servant. That messes me up, Pastor Haynes. How is it that the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of all things, became a servant? Because that's what we do as men, right? We want to serve. Mm-hmm. Oh, we want people to serve us. You know that to show the bottom of your foot in the Middle East is a sign of disrespect. You're basically telling them that they're lesser than you. The foot was viewed as a downgrading thing. That's why kings would force people to kiss their feet. It was a sign of complete submission. You know that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. I don't understand that. But he does command us to be likewise, like him. I'm going to give you a crazy image. Would you wash the feet of your friend? Another part of being a man, we got to learn to serve rather than to be served. And it isn't easy. I had a hard time with the next one. As a Marine, I was taught to kill.
That's right.
I mean, it is beaten into my head. I had a sadistic drill instructor, and he would come by and, Solomoyo, kill. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and there he was grinning. And you talk about something that scar you for life. I still remember it. That was almost 30 years ago. Compassionate. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I've had two fathers in my life. It's the same guy. One before Christ, one after Christ.
That's good.
My dad, when he was lost, he taught me a lesson that I will never forget. We're in Puerto Rico visiting, and there's this drug addict asking for money. Not me being me, you know, I've been in the streets. I was a cop, Marine. I've been around the world. I'm not giving any money to this guy. Don't just use it for drugs. Come on, go out, go help yourself. Go get a job. I was a Christian. Now, we need to be wise, right? I'm not telling you to go give money to any drug addict, but I want you to understand the lesson that my father taught me, a lost man. My dad goes and gives him $3. And I said, Pa, what are you doing? Let's say he uses this in drugs, right? He says to me, it's $3 to me. But what about if he uses it for food? Then I was a blessing to him. My dad, a lost man, had more compassion towards this man than I, a saved man, did.
Help us.
I was ashamed.
Yeah.
Now fast forward to this. My sister and her husband go to vacation to Puerto Rico. Now we're from Puerto Rico, so we try to go as many times as we can. And they see my dad's taught us this lesson, right? Remember? So she sees this young guy in the street just as filthy. I mean, imagine the worst image that you can get in your head of a drug addict. That's who this young man was. In the sidewalk, dirty. My sister goes inside, who was across the street from the McDonald's, comes and goes in and gives him food, and they throw a little bit of money on him. The kid falls, and my brother-in-law picks him up. Now, we're from down south, they're up north. There's a kid that we've gone to school with. Friend of ours. His parents had been looking for him for months. He just disappeared. They took him to a hotel. They bathed him. They fed him and they took him to his family. They took him to Florida to a rehab center, and he's never gone back to Puerto Rico. Not that there's anything wrong with Puerto Rico, obviously. But he doesn't want to go close to that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Compassion. You know that it was compassion for you and I that God had.
Yes, yeah, sir. That's right.
Towards us.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion. And I've learned a very important lesson since then. I can never lead a drunk, a drug addict, whatever it may be, to the Lord until I address their physical need. And you know where I learned that from? Jesus. You know that even the woman that was caught in the act, remember they pulled her out of the very act and threw her in the middle of the street and brought her to him? First thing he addressed was her physical need. They wanted to kill her. That was her physical need.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Afterwards, where are thine accusers? Go and sin no more.
Yep.
Yes. My favorite part of it all is, Jesus said, I don't accuse you myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop, but I'm going to take a little rabbit trail in this one. She deserved to be stoned to death according to the law.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I want us to understand that according to the law, she deserved to be stoned to death. And I say that because it's going to lead me to my next segment about being a man. Right? A man isn't self-righteous.
Oh,
that's good. That's good.
Compassionate man will never be self-righteous because, so I'm a Christian man, they know who they are before a holy God. They know who they are before a holy God.
Yes, God.
That's good.
Your righteousness, the very best of us, is as filthy rags.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know what the filthy rag God is talking about, it's the filthy rags that lepers used to clean and scrape away the boils and the juices that came out of it. That's our righteousness before God. That's because a real man of God is never self-righteous. And that leads him to be compassionate and vice versa.
That's good. Yep.
Brother, this is a tough one for me. Forgiven. Now, you sin against me, I might forgive you. That was the way I thought, right? Because remember, I was still struggling with that old man. If somebody betrays you, you don't forgive him. You beat him up. Teach him a lesson. I was like, okay, I can deal with that. I can forgive people when they argue with me. I got it. My brother, you sin against my wife and my children. Oof. That's a tough one. I'll be honest, I might want to break your neck. But what did we do to the Son of God? You see, that's what came to mind. When God was dealing with me about being forgiven towards people. Because like I said, man, you sin against me, we're good. Listen, I got thick skin. You sin against my wife or children. That was a tough one. And God said, Hector, you crucified my son. And I forgave you. And I continue to forgive you. A real man is able to forgive as Christ forgives. You know that the worst moment in Christ's life was at that point where God turned his back on him because of you and I. And pastor, the words that came out of his mouth still blow my mind away. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yet, we find it hard to forgive the ones that we love the most. You see, because the reality is this, we can walk outside in the street, Brother Pastor Gabriel, and somebody calls you a dead dog, whatever, right? But you go home and your wife says, I don't like your attitude today. How dare you, woman? Knowest thou not that I am thy pastor and thy husband? Because we get biblical too real quick. Right? How dare you? I will not speak to thee till tomorrow. Take that lesson. Tomorrow thou shalt awaketh and realize thy sin. The people that love us the most. We find it hard to forgive. You know, God commands us to love the unlovable. God commands us to forgive all, right? And here's the deal, right? I love the Lord's Prayer, so many call it. And you know what? He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. That sounds like a contract or agreement right there.
Yeah, right.
What about if God were to forgive us the way we forgive? A real man knows what forgiveness is.
God help us.
And I'm going to tell you this much. Forgiveness isn't, oh, I forgive you, but I'll remind you every time you step out of line.
That's right, yeah.
That's not forgiveness. That's manipulation.
That's right, yeah.
A real man knows what forgiveness is. This is a tough one amongst men in today's day. Committed.
Yeah.
Committed. And I'm not talking about a mental institution or anything like that, right? I'm talking about commitment. First commitment as a Christian man is to God. To God.
Amen.
Pastor, I try to serve the Lord, but my wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a quick tip. If your wife ain't following, it's because you ain't leading. You want people to follow, learn how to lead. And this isn't leading, pushing people. This isn't leading, dragging people. This is leading. Follow me as I
follow Christ.
Commitment towards God commitment towards spouse. I'm not going to deal with the world. The world needs Christ. Right? That's the first thing. So we ain't even going to deal with anything else until we deal with the fact that they need Christ. I'm dealing with God's people, where divorce rate is still higher than 40%. The divorce rate amongst God's people, I'm telling you, the only acceptable percentage is zero. Because the problem is that, remember, the fall caused a huge problem. Man was supposed to adore and serve God, and women were supposed to follow man and help him serve God, right? Complete him. When we fell, all of a sudden we became God, selfish, as I addressed it before, and the woman, all of a sudden, instead of following and serving her husband and submitting to her husband, wants to reign over her husband. That's part of the curse. And the problem is, in most Christians' home, that the man doesn't want to lead. And he can't lead because first he's not committed to the Lord. And if he's not committed to the Lord, he can never be committed to anything else.
Yeah, it's good, brother.
Pastor Hay, you've been around for a little bit longer than I have. Not much. Was it a common thing to see men jumping from job to job to job to job? Was it a common thing to see that?
Yes.
Why was that?
No commitment.
No commitment. Today, now it's even worse.
That's right, sir. Yes, it is.
Now somehow people think that when you give them a job, they're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
And they jump from place to place to place. No commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the biggest commitment, aside from you to God, as a man that you have, is to your wife.
Right.
Pastor, what about my children? Forget about your children for a second. Because your children are going to learn to be a man based on how, and I'm talking about dealing with a man and a woman, you're going to learn how to be a man based on how you treat your wife, their mother. I got to tell you, listen, I had a huge lesson from my son when he was 12. I came home from work, has a bad day at work. Really, really awful thing took place. You guys have heard of it, West Webster. I came home and I was drained and I was angry and I sit down and I was just like this. How was your day? How do you think? I just want to know how your day was. I don't want to talk about it. My son says to me, now my son's got special needs. My son says to me, Papi, Jesus doesn't like it when we're mean one to another.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, that stabbed me right in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
You see, God commands me to love that woman.
That's right, Bruce.
The way he loves his church.
Yes, sir. Better believe it.
He died for it.
Yes.
He loves it so much that stayed in that cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was a fool in that particular day to allow my emotions to lead me to be unkind, not to be compassionate towards my wife. Jesus is so committed that in spite of the fact that he did not want to die on the cross, let me tell you this much, he did not want to die on the cross.
Right.
I hate when people say, oh, he loved dying on the cross. Read the Bible.
That's right.
Then he says clearly, Father, let this cup pass from me.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Commitment. Knowing what was about to happen, he was committed to do the will of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the relationship that had been from eternity would be broken for you and I, he was committed in spite of it all to obey the will of his Father.
It's good.
Here's another tough one. I joke around with some of you and I mess with Luke. Listen, I'm a Marine. Don't take offense if I make fun of the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, okay? It's just what it is, okay? But Luke wanted to join the Air Force, and I died laughing. I thought you wanted to be a tough guy, you know? But I told him, don't worry about it. They got nice computers. But the next one, gentle. And it's tough for us. But remember, it's about being a man. And following the example of the man. The ultimate man. The only superhero to truly exist. God in the flesh. Without imperfection, without blemish. Perfect in every aspect. He was gentle. I love it. And you all know this part, this portion of the scripture when the children are, they're bringing all the kids so that he can put their hand, his hands on them. Mm-hmm. And the kids are all excited. By the way, when kids are excited to go towards you, that's a good thing. Don't be a grouch. Get those kids out of here. Be a real man. Let them come. Brother Hiram, Brother Rick, I got a few members from my church. How am I with our kids? Brother, I get on my knees and play in the floor with them. I want them to know that their pastor loves them. Because you know what? They're going to associate me with God. And I want them to see God in the way I treat them, in the way I love them, in my gentleness in dealing with them.
Come on. Yes.
He says, let them come unto me. Because of what reason? For of such is the kingdom of what?
God.
That's good.
Gentle. You want to score points with your wife or your children? Treat them gently. If you have a daughter, always hug her. My daughter's turning 16 next month. I still call her my princess. Every now and then I got to clarify with her that she's not my queen, she's my princess. You know, your mom is my queen. You got to calm down, little girl. But affection. I still kiss my son. He's 18 years old.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good. That's good. It's good, bro.
Gentleness. I've had a lot of loss recently. A few years back, my uncle, who was like a brother to me, he was only 7-8 years older than me, killed himself in a car accident. My aunt. And there was a portion where my mom's younger siblings had to live with us for a few years. So this is why we're more like sisters and brothers. My aunt, who I was the closest with, cancer took her. Mm-hmm. No, let me rephrase that. Cancer took her physical body. Mm-hmm. She's in glory today.
Amen.
You know what she said to me? She used to call me Hectorcito. It's like diminutive, you know, like making you smaller like a baby. Hey, she changed my diaper. She's got the right. She told me this, tell the people in church to stop praying for me. I'm ready to go home.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
I was broken. I was like, Lord, I don't understand you. How is it that I deal with so many wicked and evil people.
Mm.
And they're healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my aunt who loves you, who's got a son with special needs that can't, it's not even eating because he's seen his mother die. Why are you taking her? This week I found out that a girl that was like a sister to me died from cancer. I saw her Sunday. We knew that she was dying recently. I hugged her. And she died Wednesday. You know what God said to me, Tony? I gave you a chance to give her another hug. to pray with her, to tell you you loved her, to be a testimony for her, to show the love that I have for you towards her. And she's mine, not yours. I paid for her, not you. She accepted me a long time ago.
That's good.
And she's today with me. If I could send her back, she wouldn't. Because you see, God is gentle towards us. And he loves us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Self-control. That's a tough one. If you have a bad temper as a Hispanic, they say you have that as that Latin temperament. Right? No, you're just being a fool.
Yeah, come on.
You're just allowing your emotions to dictate your actions and how you react to people rather than having self-control. Do you know that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, had an amazing self-control?
Wow.
No. He could have destroyed everything and restarted it. He could have ended it all. And restarted it and would have been justified. You know why? Because he's God.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what? He could have just kept one person. And restarted it all again. But God controlled his emotions. You see, he had emotions, by the way. God has emotions. I think somewhere in the Bible says that we were created after... What was it that we were created after? His image. We are a reflection. Imperfect as it may be. Of him. He controlled himself. Every now and then I like it. He let loose a little bit. Thank God he didn't let too loose. Thank him. Right? I love them when he threw the tables in the church, bunch of charlatans. But it wasn't because he was out of control.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a specific, what was it that consumed him again? The zeal of the Lord. You see, not only was he self-controlled, when he allowed a physical exert, something to take place, it was because he was consumed by the zeal of his Father. Is that why we act the way we act? Because the zeal of the Lord consumes us? When we act a certain way, I had to act that way because the zeal of my God consumed me. You know what? I got to tell you, I don't like it when people use the word, the name of the Lord in vain. It bothers me, man. I'm talking about I want to put one right between their chompers. But I got to control myself. I hate it when people curse around my family. My wife every now and then has got to put her hand on me. And I got to tell you, it doesn't feel good sometimes because I want to let loose. Then she looks at me and I'm like, I remember one thing. She's my, what is she again that the Bible says she's to me? And God says, hey, hothead, this is me using your help me to calm you down. He was self-controlled. And lastly, save the best for last. Loving. This is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. Loving is hard. It is the hardest thing we can do as human beings. And I'm not talking about the world version of love. See, the world's version of love is selfishness. It's, well, if you love me, you'll do this. If you love me, you'll do this. You wouldn't act that way if you love me. You wouldn't do that if you love me. You wouldn't say that if you love me. God's version of love, he hung on a cross.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have one toward another.
Yes.
A real man knows how to love.
That's good, brother.
And love is not selfish. Does not bunt itself. And here's the worst one of them all. It's long-suffering. I don't know many of you personally. I don't know how old you were when you got saved. But if you were a little bit older, how long-suffering was God with you?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yes.
Long.
I have a family member that yelled at God obscenities and told him, kill me. And I looked at him, you fool. It's his love for you that prevents him from taking you out right
now.
Yes, sir.
To the glory of God, that man is serving the Lord again.
Amen.
A real man understands that he has to love. Because love is what compels us. What compels us, well, let me rephrase this. What compelled us, past tense, to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
We love him because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And compels us to continue to love him and serve him. And I'm going to tell you this much. There isn't any other reason that any believer got saved other than understanding the love that a holy God has towards a bunch of messed up people as you and I. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't care where you grew up. I don't care what financial status you have. Because I've seen some of the most miserable people I've met on earth are rich people. That's the reality of it. But it wasn't until a holy God knocked on the heart. And I finally understood who he is. His love for me. And I broke down as a child crying. And asked him to save me. And ever since, he's been teaching me through his word what being a real man is.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'll end with this. If you want to be the ultimate man, emulate the ultimate man. And if you don't know him today, his name is Jesus Christ. A simple carpenter. A king. Who lived as a peasant. A holy man that took on the sin of the world. A perfect man that took the imperfection of humanity upon himself. Oh, glory to God. Sin and death couldn't hold him.
Yes.
And he sits at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
Here's where it gets really good. Waiting to call his bride home.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, if that doesn't excite you, you're dead.
Yeah.
One challenge. And I'll close with this. I always do this at church. I'll close with this and I continue. Don't worry about it. It's just, it happens a lot. Challenge. Read your Bible. Without it, you'll never know what it is to be a real man.
That's right.
Because the highest quality of any true man is that he loves the way Christ loves.
Amen.
You know that the law rests on two commandments, and each one of them has to do with love? Love God. Love thy neighbor. Upon this too. Rest the law and the prophets. And the key to it is love.
Amen.
Learn to love like Christ, and you'll start to be the man that God wants you to be, which is a real man. Let's pray.
Amen.
Lord Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being an example to me, for teaching me, and continue to teach me what a real man is. How to love my wife. how to love my children, how to love my brethren. Lord, without love, and I'm talking about real love. The Bible says, your word says that you are love. God is love.
Amen.
So when I say love, I'm talking about you.
Yes.
Without you, we're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never be able to accomplish, Father, what a real man is.
Mm-hmm.
I pray you, Father, that if anyone doesn't know you here today,
yes,
Lord, today simply ask you to come into your life understanding who you are and what you've done for them. You died in their place and went to hell in their place, but Father, you couldn't be held by death or sin because you loved them. What have they to lose? Is their life everything they want it to be? I simply would tell them that their life will never be the same if they were to simply submit to you and accept you. Father, for your people, those that are called by your name, let us get up. Now that we understand a little bit more about what true man is, and quit ye like men.
Yes.
In the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Before we sing our closing song,